going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
And we welcome you into a quarantine version of Meet Me at Mutual. I'm your host, Daniel Shopped off C70. It's about at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, is Alan Medlock from Red Dirt Red Bird and AMedlock1 on Twitter. And thankfully, we are always states apart, so we're definitely practicing the social distancing thing and no running any risks here. And the show, this podcast, should be completely coronavirus free. Well, it won't be completely coronavirus free from discussion, but you shouldn't contract it if you start listening to us. You just may contract a case of boredom or something of that nature, but that's honestly, you know what you're getting into when you download the podcast. So that's on you. Alan, we're a week plus, well, right at a week now from the stoppage of spring training. And I tell you, it feels like it's been 2 months already, doesn't it? I mean, and maybe it's because so much is going on and so many things are happening in relation to the virus. I just realized, I don't think I've ever actually said that too much outside. Coronavirus. There we go. But it just feels like it's been a real long time, doesn't it?
It does. I was listening to the radio yesterday and listening to some podcasts and whatnot, and then you realize that that game a couple of weeks ago was that Thursday, which you kind of felt like they probably weren't going to be playing because at that point everything else was canceling, and it's a strange feeling, you know, all the way around. I don't know. It does seem like even the show we did last week seems like 2 weeks ago at this point. So, you know, time's kind of moving around us quite a bit. And it's also just kind of seems to be, standing in place a little bit as well. Just a very surreal feeling about how all this is going down. And it's just completely odd.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. I mean, it's not anything that we ever expected to think about in our lifetime. It's not something that ever made sense. I mean, we heard about, you know, maybe diseases in other places that would shut things down or cause problems or whatever. But I mean, who would have ever expected that, you know, big cities like New York and San Francisco are just, you can't go anywhere. I mean, you're stuck inside. It's the, in theory, there could be more traffic here in my town of 25,000 than there is in New York. I mean, it's not, because no matter, there's still a lot of traffic going on, I'm sure, out there. But, you know, that's just, it's just weird. And it's weird that we are, well, you know, this, we should be sitting here looking at the last roster cuts. We should be, I mean, we're less than a week from the actual opening day. Or what it would have been opening day. So, it's weird. Cardinals did, though, make moves this week, which was a little bit weird in itself. But they're not the only ones. We've seen some others. We saw the Mariners released Sam Tuilavala today. And we've seen some others. But Cardinals send four down to the minors, which, I mean, Alan, it just seemed weird because, you know, not like you're going to be playing anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I tried to read between the lines or try to find out as much as I could on that. And there wasn't a lot of clarity. I'm even kind of forgetting what I had read early this week about what it said. I was glad to see that pop up. And every time you see one of those, you're thinking, okay, is this the preemptive move to say, hey, look, we may think that we may get back into camp at this point. And of course, that wasn't the situation at all. But you know, it was odd to actually kind of see some of the names that, well, I say only one. I mean, the Sosa deal seemed to be fairly strange to see him go down as quickly as he did when they thought that he probably had a way of making his way back into camp. That may, or onto the big regal roster, that may have played into the fact that they feel like Miller's healthy or will be when they get back out there too. So I don't know. Yeah. I have been kind of scrolling other teams to see what kind of moves they make. And it seems like just about everyone's made one. So I don't know. I don't know if there was a marker that we don't know, you know, in this timeline to do something. But yeah, it was kind of. It was so nice just to see some kind of headline that wasn't about the virus. Actually,
yeah. Well, and it could have been worse. The Red Sox then, of course, lose Chris Sale because he's got to have Tommy John surgery. So, yeah. At least it wasn't that kind of headline. Yeah, the Cardinals send down Austin Dean, Justin Williams, Jake Woodford, and Amundo Sosa. And I think you're right. I think Sosa was the only one that had a shot to make the – he's had a real good spring. And so, again, I'm not surprised that they sent him down because you're right. When they sat Brad Miller and you got Tommy Edman who can play the infield as well. It's in depending on lots of other different options, but with Munoz, you know, heading home early and apparently very astutely, we kind of laughed at him at the time, but maybe he knew what he was doing. It seemed like there might be a little shot at getting there, but for the most part, that made sense. That it, you know. I think if Justin Williams or Austin Dean had made this team over Dylan Carlson, people would riot, and probably rightly. It is a little bit interesting because if this is one of those things that idea was tossed around was it had something to do with service time, and they're trying to figure out what service time is going to look like when the game returns. You know, are you going to get credit for being on the roster during this time or what? You'd think if that was the case, they would have sent Carlson down, but he's still there. I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, no, it's God. Your guess is as good as mine on that one. You know, it was funny. I did like to see some of the breakdowns. You know, I felt like that this was probably it was easy to figure out or easy to draw this line with Dean, easy to draw this line with Woodford. You know, those things. Sosa was the kind of the surprise. But Williams is one of those whenever their move was announced and they at least made some comments about development with him and it made sense to what had gone on in camp. They said that he needs to be more aggressive in the outfield and, you know, be more assertive essentially because there were two throws that he probably should have made and did not. And he would have had a chance to get guys. And there was a mystery of why, if you remember, they thought, well, is he hurt? And we don't know it. One of those things.
Yeah, but,
you know, it may just be one of those things. That's the yips and that's part of the development. And I was glad that they put that in whenever in the transaction notes. So, yeah, but as far as why these guys and, you know, not a Carlson, because there's going to be questions on how the service time is handled. That makes a ton of sense. And it's one of those that honestly is probably a little over my head, which a lot is, to be honest. So that's, So I don't know.
I don't either. It's really, like you said, there's probably some reasonings behind it. And I don't know, maybe it was some idea of keeping a little bit of normalcy, this idea they were going to be making cuts right after the stoppage. It was right about the time they were going to make cuts. And maybe they decided they'd just go ahead and make them and, you know, make them and kind of spread it out and give people something to talk about or whatever. I do wonder though, you know, they're talking about, you know, they've decided to pay minor leaguers, what, the per diem, which is not much. They get like basically they're gonna get like $500 for this gap between when the game stopped and opening day for the minor leagues, which is I think it would have been what was it? It was gonna be like April 13th or something like that. I wonder if that means that, you know, Sosa and Woodford, all them get that instead of, you know, major league money. Now, I don't know that they've decided what they're going to do with the major leaguers either. I don't know that the major leaguers are getting any money right now. So maybe it's better to be a minor leaguer than a major leaguer in that regard at the moment. But It's very possible that that comes back and bites them too. Is that maybe they would have liked to have waited this out, because there may be some benefit to have been on this roster the whole time.
Yeah, maybe so. And it's one of those to where I wondered about that as well, because I know that neither one were paid, you know, a salary until the season started. Right. But I wasn't sure about how they did handle the per diem stuff. But when I look back and you remember just the situation of Wainwright renting the car for Sheriff and stuff like that, I was kind of thinking, I was like, well, does that mean he didn't have any money to do it, or it was would have cut into his per diem money to do it? That I really don't know.
You probably would have cut in the per diem. I mean, and the per diem's not much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like $25 a day, and that's going to get you, you know, at least an evening meal, and maybe more than that. And I don't know if they take clubhouse dues out of that, and I don't know a lot of the things.
Know a lot of those insights, that stuff like that. I was talking to a former minor league buddy of mine, and he was talking about how he would save all of his stuff and they would pool it together for, and I can't even remember what they were saying, but it was some interesting stories on how they do it. Now that would of course be during the season as well. So right. I'm not sure how they handled it during the spring.
Yeah. But, I think it's probably telling that ownership and the union haven't been able to figure out agreements on what they're going to do with some of this stuff, even as we're sitting here in the middle of a national crisis. That just doesn't seem to bode well for the next round of negotiations. I mean, if it takes you this much to say, hey, these guys, these minor leaguers who don't get paid much anyway, have no chance of earning money. Why can't we come up with something that works for them? I mean, all these teams just chipped in $1 million each to pay for the ushers and the, you know, the concession guys and all this kind of stuff, which is great. I mean, don't get me wrong, but they didn't do that for the minor leaguers. I mean, you know how much, if you set another $1 million aside for all your minor leaguers, well, they'd never want the stoppage in, because they're getting paid more probably. But, you know, I mean, still, it's that idea that why can't, you know, these are guys that are really vulnerable. These are guys that, you know, I know we talked about it last week with Tara, that just don't have this opportunity. I mean, may have spent all they had to get to spring training and then had to turn around and go back home. Don't have a real opportunity to get temporary jobs because you don't know how long you're going to be there. Why you can't take another $1 million and use that to supplement these guys through until camps open back up, you know, that should seems to me like a kind of a no brainer thing. And here we are, they're still just hammering and trying to pull like every concession out of each side, even when we're kind of more important things out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Where I was hoping that this would kind of galvanize a relationship and make them come to the table and whatnot, it doesn't seem like that's happened at all, you know, because this is one of those where in a situation, a global situation that we're in, it's a little bit of goodwill, and you see the best out of people if you say go to the grocery store. We haven't necessarily seen the best out of people when it comes to, you know, professional sports at this point. I can't really speak too much for the NHL or NBA, but you're thinking that, okay, put this off, extend it. You know they're not going to extend the season, kind of like they did, you know, a few years ago and put off the contract, you know, 9/11, mm-hmm. they went ahead and put a year or two. They're not going to do that because it's so contentious, but you would think that there would be something done to show that they care about some of these guys more than they have. And it's worrisome. I completely agree with you. Mm-hmm. I'm completely in tune with that. I'm like, you know, I was hoping we would see something, you know, come out along those lines, but we haven't seen anything at all. And, you know, I know this is unprecedented. No one's ever we've never been faced with a situation like this, but it seems like there can be a little more that has been done and they're just not willing to do it. And that's an ugly look.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the revenue streams are lesser now for the owners as well. I mean, I have no idea what's going on with the television rights. I mean, I don't know if they're afraid they're going to have to refund some of that because there's just not games. I don't know. And I get that. I get that they're not being able to really sell tickets or, but a lot of people have sold tickets already. You know, you've already gotten some of that money in there. You're already going to, you know, you're going to have some of that. I know, you know, at least a few teams like to claim that they lost money or whatever, but I still feel like almost everybody could contribute. Or, you know, if nothing else, let Major League Baseball can. I mean, how much money does baseball itself have? You know, it doesn't always go back to the teams. You know, they've got revenue sources here, there, and everywhere. You know, they can't take a little portion of this and set up some sort of fund for assistance, because not every minor leaguer needs them. Some minor leaguers have good family support. Some minor leaguers may come from money, whatever the case may be. But some of these guys, you know, the guy that was getting by on $10,000 and expecting his first payday and has a wife and two kids back, you know, home, then man, how are they supposed to get by? I don't get it.
Yeah. And I mean, think about that same scenario of the guy that you just said, and none of the family speaks English.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a scary situation. You know, we feel like we're probably in a pretty good spot here, you know, work wise, and you know, we're going to have, you know, ups and downs, but you know, we're not in those spots. I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, that's you want to, that would make you hate the game really quickly. And that's, you know, that's a scary thought to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be guys that don't come back to baseball after this. I mean, they just can't, because they can't wait. And that's sad. I mean, granted, if they're a top prospect or something, they probably are, because they know that payday's coming, and they know that, but you know, a guy that maybe is a slow developer in the minor leagues, guy, you know, hey, like what, Matt Carpenter, what, a 13th round draft pick? He didn't make it to the major leagues till what, he was, I would say 24, 25, somewhere in there. I mean, if he's 22 and this happens, you know, does Matt Carpenter ever make it to the major leagues? Maybe not. And obviously he could have. Obviously he had the talent and ability to do so. So you'd hate to see somebody like that get forced out just because they can't afford to wait on baseball to come back, when there's no clear idea of when that's going to happen.
Yeah. It's scary. I mean, it is it's tough for everybody right now. And it's tough where we look at these things and pro sports is such a pastime for us and we love it and it's easy to break down, but then you realize that there's lives behind it. And it just shows, it really shows a lot of the weaknesses in these sports that, you know, how fragile things can be for some of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, anyway, it seems to be, you know, again, they're not going to do anything major here. We're still trying to figure this out. Alan, I don't think we talked about this much with Tara last week, but, when they do come back, what kind of things are we going to see? Maybe there's stop gaps that will help this. I mean, because I feel like, you know, I wrote about it a couple times this week, but they're going to have to do something to, because starting pitchers aren't going to be able to go six innings to start this season. I mean, is it expanded rosters? Is it, I mean, I don't know. It feels like they're, you know, even though we're already expanded to 26, it feels like we're going to have to go more than that to make this work.
I would, if this is complete shooting from the hip, I think you're going to see expanded rosters. I think you'll have to. I think you'll see I think you're going to see the imposed rules that were put in, mainly the three batter minimum. I think that that's probably going to get pushed off a year. I feel like there's a lot of it's going to be. I am really excited to see what kind of scheduling they do, and what you know, that will add a little bit of clarity on some of the things that we feel like they're going to have to do roster wise. But I think those are the two things that you'll see first. I think you'll see probably maybe a moratorium on the new rules, and probably I think you'll have to see roster expansion. If not, you're going to see a bunch of guys get hurt. And a lot of that's just mainly because they've tuned up and had to tune back down. You know, if it never started, you would feel a little bit better, even coming back abbreviated to be like, well, this is how it's going to have to go. But now it's, I don't know if that's a very good look, you know, whenever you, you get up and you get the guys that were going 4, 5, 6 innings at this point now. And they were, I mean, they were tuning up to where they would have been ready for the season just for it to shut down. And you're throwing on your own. I'm sure they all have a regimen, but that's not competitive innings. And I think that those are some of the things that you'll see. I think there will be a little bit of creativity on how they do things too. I think that there may be a little bit of limited travel. And what I mean by that is I think they'll probably play a lot of heavy in division games and not necessarily interleague games, which hopefully will help that a little bit. But that's just kind of some things that I thought about just scratching the surface.
Yeah. You know, every time there's been, you know, after a 95 and after I'd forgotten about the 90 stoppage in spring training, you know, they did expand rosters by 2 or 3 for, you know, 10 days or not 10 days, but more like, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks. It makes you wonder, boy, I mean, if you start the season in June, which, I mean, we don't know still, but you start the season in June and you run through mid-July with expanded rosters, and then in September you're going to turn back around and expand them again out to 28. I mean, do you just keep 28 all season long at that point? I don't know. I mean, it could be. I kind of think you're right with the 3-batter minimum. I think that it gets bumped because these guys just aren't going to have a chance to practice it. And that's just one more thing you don't have to worry about, you know, right now. I mean, you just want to get out there and play once they get started.
Well, we speak about, path of least resistance on here a lot. I know that I do. And I say that a ton more to the roster. I feel like the baseball is going to have to bounce back and almost like baseball did something wrong. You know what I mean? They're going to have to come back, and they're really going to have to walk the line, and they're not going to have to ruffle any feathers because they're going to be they're going to be the shining light that comes back. You know, some of the other sports are going to, you know, whether NBA comes back or NHL, and these guys are going to come back in a playoff format, and it'll be exciting. But baseball's America's pastime, and they need to do something big when they come back, they don't need to come back under controversy.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be some natural goodwill, I guess, because people are going to want to go to games, want to get out, want to go do something. So there is that. but you're right. It definitely would help if they made a splash or did something. I just wonder, I know that people have sold tickets to games, but man, if you miss April and May, which right now looks like that's going to be the case. I mean, can you really just pick up the Scaliger on June 1st and go forward? I mean, we talked about it last year. You know, the Cardinals would miss a lot with the Dodgers. They'd miss almost all their West Coast trips. And it just doesn't feel like that's a great way for, you know, I mean, it's good for the Cardinals, but that way, but it's not really good for a fair season. But I don't see how they can necessarily scrap what they have and restart. I mean, even if they could sit around and come up with a schedule that fast for everybody, all the logistics that are all go with it, and then just the idea of, you know, having to refund everybody's money and then sell tickets again and do all this within, like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, it seems kind of crazy.
Yeah, I'm fairly optimistic that it's not going to go that long, though. I feel like, yeah, I think you're probably going to start in May. I haven't completely given up on an April starting date either yet. That could be maybe overly optimistic. I'm not sure, but I feel like there's going to be a little bit of clarity in the things that all things moving forward, probably end of March, 1st of April. Then you can kind of play off that a little bit. I always kind of look for some of those holiday weekends and to see where they can kind of bounce back. I would think, hey, Memorial Day would be huge. Then you're looking at end of May, might as well be June at that point. And then you have, you know, nothing between there, maybe an Easter, but, you know, I'm not so certain that's here. Here's the storybook start that I can always think of. I think the Christmas start and the way that the NBA did it a few years ago propelled them to the stardom that they have now. They did it right. And I feel like baseball needs to do something like that. But I think baseball needs it to where all eyes are on them, and they need to make it as a they need to look like the healers more than anything else, because they're going to be the summer sport. They're going to be what's you know, the change of seasons, the get this past us, get, you know, it's run its flu cycle. You know, it we took it shot. You know, we need to bounce back. I think baseball can do that. There needs to be more clarity on whether we as a society will be able to go outside or to be in groups. And it seems like there's still a long way to go to figure that out, but I don't think it's as long as we think. I think that we'll probably know a little bit more about that by the end of the month. But I do think baseball needs to take advantage of it. I think it's easy to throw out into May, 1st of June now because no one's doing anything. But I have a feeling there's going to be a fire under behinds whenever things get going. And I just don't think it's going to be as long as people think.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, like I said, when they announced it, the second, you know, pushback, I mean, they did it on the CDC recommendation to restrict events of more than 50 people for the next 8 weeks, which then put it into mid-May. I don't know. I feel like, to me, and we'll see, but I have a feeling that the CDC is not going to want to change that recommendation lightly.
They already have. It's 10 for 15 days.
Well, that was the president's thing that came out, but I think that
no, that's the CDC guideline.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're kind of together, but I'm saying that I don't think that superseded this one. I think it goes along with, to the point that they want the 10 people for 15 days, and then after that, it's like 50 to the next 8 weeks, because I just don't think they're going to want to say, oh yeah, everybody can come back together when they're still worried about this thing. And I mean, you know, we've talked about how many cases that are still out there. And I mean, what do you think? I mean, I kind of feel like they're going to probably come up with something more after that 15 days too, because that's almost up, isn't it?
Well, it'd be next Tuesday. It would be right around the end of the month. I feel like there's going to be some clarity at the end of the month. My warning is that next week's going to be pretty ugly. I would think we're going to hear a whole lot. We're going to see probably a lot of deaths. It's going to be a scary time. I don't know. I feel like a nationwide lockdown may not be such a bad deal. It's tough to enforce, but I feel like we're at that point. But with that being said, I feel like you can already see the effects of things, even in the lackluster approach that some people have on it right now. I still feel like that. I still feel like that you could see benefits and things moving in the right direction. I see June as being overly pessimistic.
And that's fair. I think to me, if we're going to go with this, you know, this idea that mid-May is the earliest, it depends on whether they'll be able to have their spring training start like May 1st, so that May 15th, they can be ready for opening day. Or is it mid-May is the first time they can get players together, in which case there's got to be at least a 2 weeks. I mean, and I feel like that's right. I mean, don't you? I mean, there's got to be some sort of like 2 weeks camp at least to get people ready to go.
That's the minimum that I've kind of based it off of, is 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't – I feel like they're going to want to get to real games as fast as possible, but, man, 2 weeks is what, like two starts for a pitcher? Maybe three, depending on how things work out. And I guess it depends on how much they're doing, but that feels like – that doesn't feel like enough to get it going. But like we said, expanded rosters, maybe you just – hey, if your starters could go four innings that first month of the season, then that's what they do. And man, there's going to be a lot of weird stats from this season. Seems like there was another place I was going at one point in time, and I forgot what it was. So I guess
that's so easy to get caught up in everything right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like a big turning point is going to be April 1. You know, and that could be, like I said, I could be overly optimistic on that. But I feel like we'll have a lot of, I feel like we'll have a better idea where things are heading at that point.
Could be. Yeah, I mean, hopefully. I know that they've closed schools here through the 17th of April, so they're planning, you know, that much. And I don't know, you know, again, most everything's been shut down, as it has been probably everywhere, where you can't get, you know, restaurants are, you have closed their dine-ins, and the bars are closed, and things like that. I guess once those things start to reopen, then maybe we're going to, you know, feel like we're getting a handle of it, but I don't know. I mean, it just, it's such a weird thing because, you know, you don't know if you're carrying it. You don't know. I mean, everybody could shut up for 3 months and then all of a sudden, you know, are you still not 100% sure it's all gone? You know, you know what I'm saying? Because you can't see it and it's just kind of there. It's difficult to know what to do and how far you're going with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the uncertainty is the worst part of everything right now.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're cooped up and all you can do is watch the news about it. No one has any more answers than what you have.
Yeah. And you know, especially right now, you know, every day seems to bring something new, or another, another restriction, another place that's closing. You know, we've taken, even in our little town, which I think we have one case in our county somewhere along the way. You know, we've taken some significant precautions at our office, to the point that we closed our lobby and people are bringing their tax in to vote and pushing it through the window, you know, and we're sterilizing the files and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably way overkill. I mean, there's probably no need for that, but you know, you don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's worrisome. I mean, that's, you know, like we were talking beforehand on the show, I mean, elective surgeries here in town have pretty much stopped. I mean, there's really only one facility that's still doing it. And a lot of that is because, you know, people are afraid to come in and be cut open or, you know, anything invasive. And we don't have a lot of answers right now. And that's troublesome, but, you know, that's... At least there's a plan. You know what I mean? I don't know. That's the only thing that I could kind of find solace in.
Yeah. I mean, and you're right. Maybe that nationwide shutdown is coming and maybe that helps and maybe it doesn't. I mean, it would be weird if they did 2 weeks of shutdown and then, you know, opening everything back up. Is that going to be good enough? I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. And you know what? Well, you're right. I mean, it may be a situation where we go from, you know, groups of 10 and limit this to where maybe you can go back to the 500 and build build off of that. I don't know. You know, so
yeah,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but there's going to have to be, I would think, minimal cases before they do a whole lot of big groups again, just because it could flare up and we have the same situation. Let's see pull this map up real quick and see how many cases there are in the United States right now. Well, I don't think it's going to tell me it's going to more of a global thing. So,
yeah,
but there's a lot. I mean, we're talking what, 10,000 or more, probably more.
What was it?
I said, we're looking at, you know, 10,000 or so cases probably or more in the country. And it's going to have to be, you know, and that's just, I mean, that's, again, that's a range of things. There's people that are just barely sick versus people that are, you know, unfortunately have passed away from it. So, sure. I don't know. I mean, we're in completely uncharted territory here.
I would think that that's probably going to at least triple next week. Mm-hmm. Because then we finally have a little bit of clarity on testing. And you know, some of the places where there are shortages are some of the places where they don't necessarily, it's kind of a weird deal. Like in Oklahoma, necessarily there is we've had a fair number of cases. You know, we've had a death. We've had, we have a couple of infants. We have some of the scary stuff that, that you hear. But, you know, testing has rolled out pretty well. Enough to where now it is a, they feel like they have it to where it's the, you know, severely sick, and they're holding out for that. Some of the bigger cities, you're going to see some of these testings go out to where they start doing it widespread, and you're going to find out that, you know, a third of the population has it. But you also realize that a third of that population probably isn't sick, or isn't sick, or asymptomatic. And those are the answers that they're going to want to find out. You know, I don't necessarily think that you're going to, that they're, whether those cases are cut in half by a certain period, to where that's going to be the benchmark to, okay, now we can release stuff. I think they need to have a grip on how serious this is and what, how it's passing so easy from person to person and why it's affecting some more than others. And I think that's a lot of the deal, because it's mutated from an animal that they really don't know. And that's, those are the unknowns that are scary. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put a, an amount on, let's see how many people of these we can cure. I think it's more of these, let's see how many of these we can control and know where we are on this. So sometimes seeing those numbers go up as far as the infected isn't necessarily the worst thing. You know, because at that point, you know severity in almost any of those cases. And I think that's probably more what we're looking for than anything.
Yeah, probably so. Oh, and I was wrong. There's almost 20,000 cases in the United States.
I thought it was over 15, but I wasn't sure. But you're right. I read that global counter every morning, then you find out that that's probably about 48 hours behind schedule anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, and the deaths are still, I mean, this one shows 11,000 deaths worldwide. And that's a lot out of one thing. So it is something to be concerned about, and I know we've, everybody's done the, you know, wash your hands bit, and everybody's concerned about all that. But I think we've, to some degree, got beyond that. I mean, it really is stay at home if at all possible. And you know, it may become less of a request and more of an order at some point in time. But you know, there's no real reason that, if there's no reason for you to get out, then don't. I mean, I think that's just what it boils down to. So,
well, and it's not necessarily for you or for me, but it's for the ones that can't fight for themselves. You know, that's that's my PSA for the day. I mean, that's, you know, I see it all the time. I mean, it's a scary deal. I've told everybody on here, I can be pretty apathetic to these things, to where I'm like, okay, it's never going to affect us like it says it is. And I hope that's the case on this one. But this is one of those to where we're not necessarily looking out for us. We're looking out for the older generation. We're looking out for the sick generation. And in some point, the, you know, the less fortunate situation. And it's arrogant to go out and show that you don't care. You know, that's one of those. That's not human nature. And that's not what we're about. So it's, I feel like this is a good way to stand up and to get out and about, go see people now. I mean, it's goodwill. And I think we're all pulling on the same rope. And I hope that maintains. And I think that we're going to get out in front of this thing.
I hope so. That would be the best thing possible. All right. Well, Alan and I don't know what we'll do. I don't figure we'll let the whole time go without shows, and we'll try to do some here and there. And if you've got ideas, if you want us to continue doing shows, if you're using this as part of your quarantine survival kit, let us know. We'll figure out something to do, whether it's just, you know, telling stories or you know, picking old Cardinal players and, you know, seeing how they would do today, or who knows what we would do. But give us a shout. Hit us on Twitter and let us know. Until whenever next time is, stay healthy, stay inside, and we'll talk at you later. So for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Shooter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.